So it's the optimism that people need to go into the world with. The only problem is we're our own worst critics and enemies. Be a critic, but don't be an enemy. Realize we need self-improvement, but you're good enough.
Hey guys, check out the 2023 Street Cop Conference, April 23rd through the 28th, Gaylord Convention Center. It's going to be the event of the year. Keynote speakers include Rob O'Neill, the guy who killed Bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, the youngest living Medal of Honor recipient, Navy SEAL Jason Redmond, Fox News host Tommy Lahren, Marine Corps Special Forces and Leadership Coach Cody Alford, Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff David Clark, and Sheriff Mark Lamb. It's going to be one hell of an event. And on top of that, we have all of our instructors and additional instructors from other companies going to be at the event, giving you everything they know for you to have a successful career and get the results you want to get in the field as a police officer. On top of attending the event, you'll get face-to-face time with every instructor attending the event, and all the keynote speakers will spend time with you. We got special events all week, giveaways, nightlife. It's going to be really, really worth your time, energy, and effort. I promise you, you will not regret it for a second. To register for the conference, check out streetcop.com, click conference, and everything you need will be there on the homepage. If you are looking for a room, just click book a room. The block has been sold out at the Gaylord Opryland Convention Center, but there are many hotels nearby within a walking distance of the event. You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. We will see you there.
You training to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. We got a good one today, man. You guys probably know him. If you listen to another podcast, it's probably the Black Rifle Podcast. Am I saying that right?
Black Rifle Coffee Podcast.
I didn't know if I was going to put the coffee in there as well, but dude, the coffee's fucking legit, by the way, too.
Thanks, man.
I was thinking about what I was, right before we started, I was urinating, and I'm like, yo, all these coffee companies are trying to get off the fucking ground, right? But like, why do people buy Black Rifle Coffee? It's because the purpose behind it, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Fucking men want to drink something that says Black Rifle Coffee Company on it. And yeah, it's just interesting, dude, the dynamic of building a brand and the purpose behind the brand. And you guys are doing a real good job as a company of selling that brand and making it mean something to people. But anyway, it's the host of that podcast, Mike Glover. Mike's got a crazy fucking history. So tell us about you, Mike, for the few people in this audience that may not know who you are.
So just a CEO and an owner of a business that focuses on preparedness. I look at us as like the conduit for subject matter experts. A lot of those experts are law enforcement officers, for training, for equipment, for mindset and education. And I have a military background, did 20 years in the military, as well as a government contracting gig with the CIA for a little bit. And just trying to do my thing and make citizens and law enforcement, military better prepared.
What kind of things did you do in the military? Like, how did you start your career? What branch of the service, shit like that?
Yeah, I did 4 years in the infantry and the U.S. Army. And then the rest of my time as a Green Beret in Special Forces is the actual title of it, was everything from a 18 Bravo, a Special Forces weapons guy, joint terminal air controller, a sniper, was a team sergeant, had a sniper reconnaissance team, and then finished my career in the reserve component as a sergeant major up in Special Operations Detachment Africa in Austin, Texas. So got a good run of it. Early Global War on Terror was in selection in that time of period, and finished my career in 2016.
Dude, you breezed over the fact that you're a badass motherfucker like it was not. Like, yeah, I did a little military run. Fucking Special Forces, Green Beret. Come on, bro. Let's gloat a little bit. You know what I mean? You've earned it. People know who the fuck you are.
It's cool. It was cool. I had a good time. It was fun. I had amazing experiences. I'm very thankful for it. But to be honest, like, a lot of the things that I do and I teach don't have nothing to do with that experience. I mean, the ultimate objective in teaching you get from your experiences, I would say a lot of the stuff that I teach today came from the CIA, from the 3-year run, because it was just a different kind of operation. And even stuff that I teach law enforcement, like single man CQB, for example, that doesn't come from a military experience. That comes from a contracting experience. So It was a good run, but I don't want to gloat because it was cool, but it wasn't that cool.
Yeah, dude, there's some cool motherfuckers out there too. You know, it's crazy, bro. We have so many special forces guys on this podcast. Sorry, guys on this podcast that I'm like really getting to understand all the, like when you said 18 Bravo, I'm like, I know what that is. Cause we've had fucking 28 fucking Green Berets on here. Right. Like, and I'm sure you've had them on your podcast as well. We probably steal them from your podcast, to be quite honest with you. I don't know. But we, you know, divine guests, sometimes we like look at other podcasts like, yo, that guy was real fucking good on Rogan. Reach out to him and they're like, yeah, we'll do your shit because it's legit as well. I'm like, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, dude, Nick Lavery is a fucking bad motherfucker. You know Nick, right?
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, he's a great human being, man. He's a beast.
He's coming in studio, isn't he? Oh, no shit, in the summer. That's fucking badass. Maybe I'll bring him to the house and we'll do the fucking, the escape to the backyard, right?
We just did the backyard series. Did a documentary on him, about a 25-minute documentary on him and his story that's going to be on Black Rifle Coffee's YouTube channel. And it's pretty epic, man. I'm looking forward to that dropping.
That dude's a bad motherfucker, bro.
He is, man. His mindset is real. I mean, he's been through a lot of difficult times, but he's always had that mindset. I think losing his leg was just a part of that experience. I mean, it's a guy. He's a guy who went to dive school with above the knee amputation, and he's like 6'10", like 500 pounds. I mean, this dude's a monster.
Dude.
It's like, how can that dude even swim just normally, and how can he swim without a leg, and he gets it done.
So, dude, tell me about your business now, like the consulting, the trainings, all the other shit. Tell me about that company, and then tell me about the podcast, all that shit. I'm just super interested in all this.
Yeah, so I started Fieldcraft Survival when I was a contractor in the agency and just kind of wanted a new start. I was tired of working for the government. I mean, it was exhausting. And I felt like, you know, it was time for me to transition. I had this mindset like I was going to do it forever. And I was just going to commit to, like, you know, doing ground branch, doing cool stuff downrange. And I never thought it would get old. And then one day it got old. And I was just like, dude, I'm not feeling this anymore. And I just want to do, I mean, if we were in the middle of a war, that would probably be different. That wouldn't be my opinion at the time, but the war had kind of died down. Things were political. And I wanted to do survival, but I didn't want to do like bushcraft stuff. I wanted to do a focus on modern survival and kind of the things that I have learned in the military and in contracting that have helped save my life. So I guess principle-based things like training, like mindset, like a culture of fitness and health and wellness, all that good stuff. And I want to develop my own little culture. Some would call that a cult. We call it culture. But I wanted to feel that purpose again of feeling like I was back on the teams. And so I built that, you know, Fieldcraft Survival. We do consulting, we do education. We do, I got an online application, virtual online learning coming out June 6th, a whole bunch of stuff. We're all over the country. Half of my trainers are law enforcement officers. They train throughout the country. I had one of them helping me in the mobility course. We teach overlanding, mobility, first aid, canning and jarring. I mean, everything. We teach it all. So it's a cool group of human beings I'm surrounded by, about 30 employees, and they just crush it every single day for us. So I'm happy to do that.
How did you start, dude? How many years ago? Was it just you? Tell me about that shit.
Yeah, dude, like 2015 is the start point, and I was in Pakistan, and I came up with the idea and got the logo and did a lot of reading on Google on how to start a business, and I figured it out. And then 2016, I launched my first product, which is this real shitty survival kit.
Wait a second. It's so funny because people like, dude, sometimes like I did my first class in 2012 and it was free. Actually, people don't realize this. That is my first class. My first class, this is no bullshit, was at the mall substation where they allowed us to do like in-service training at our mall. It was like this fucking closet with no windows. And like six of my friends from work like decided to come hear me talk. And I'll never forget like the first break. I'm like, what do you guys think? They're like, dude, it's really good, but you know, you got to have like something on the screen. You just can't just talk. And I was like, yeah. Then I taught my first free class, I don't know, maybe 6 months after that. I actually broke my hand in a work-related injury. So I actually sat down. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, had a Sony Vaio laptop. I didn't even own a laptop. And I was like, she's like, what are you going to do with the next 12 weeks while your hand gets healed? And I'm like, I'll probably take all these fucking notes and maybe make PowerPoints with it. And I sat there and learned PowerPoint, and dude, it stunk. I showed up, 67 or 63 people showed up to a free class at a fire academy where I got a room, and it was a 2-day course, and it was fucking the worst compared to what it is now. But people were like, yo, it's really good. And I'm like, really? Like, yeah, it's really good, dude. Like, it's really good shit. And dude, I didn't know half the shit that I was talking about. I just knew. So from what it was then to what it is now, to hear you saying like it was fun. So I have guys who were like, yo, I came to your first class. Like once in a blue moon, somebody will be in my class now. They're like, yo, I came to your first class. They're like, I'm like, no shit. They're like, yeah, I was there at the fire academy. I'm like, no shit, dude. Really? Because there's 33,000 cops in the state. And it's one of those first 63 that showed up to this thing. And I'm like, what do you think? Like, dude, it's fucking crazy what it is now versus what it was then. I'm like, yeah, it's fucking 9-10 years, bro. Right? I'm doing this shit up 700-800 times. I ran this program now, you know? So it's cool to hear you say that, dude. So I can completely maybe laugh as soon as you said it. Cause I think we all say the same thing. Like, oh God, it's fucking terrible. Right. But yeah, you did it, right?
It. When you're trying to, it's interesting because a lot of people, when they're trying to start businesses, they forget a lot of things. Like even a mindset class, you're taking it from your experiences and you're basically making shit up. I mean, you're taking all this information and you're the sum of your experiences, but you're just making shit up. And so a lot of people do that. I think some people do it better than others, but that's the start point. And as long as you're willing to learn, where others fail is there are a lot of people who buy into their own bullshit. So a lot of people will do that and they'll go, man, that was epic. Like, I'm proud of myself. And you're like, what? Like, be a harsh critic, ask people how you can improve and refine that product. And I would certainly say over the last nearly decade, that's what we've done. Like, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I continue to learn from those mistakes so I don't make them again, which is one of the reasons we're probably at least financially a successful company. And we have the reputation for being not shitbags. And while others have reputations for maybe thinking they're successful, and then other people are looking at them going, these guys are dickheads. You know, I think a lot of companies don't do that.
Yeah, you're in this industry, right? Like, I like, it's flabbergasting. When I came into this industry and I started getting recognition, I was like trying to be friends with people. I'm like, yo, we should do shit. And they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, bro. Then it was, hey, do you want to, you want to come to our event and like speak at our event? And I'm like, yeah. And then people were like, yo, don't do that. Those guys are fucking scumbags. And I'm like, no, I'll go to their event. Da-da-da. Like, and then I'm like, oh, this is why people were warning me. Now it's like, yo, fuck that guy. Right. And I'm like, I just want to be friends with everybody. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
I just want, we could all be cool and like work together. There's plenty to fucking eat. And it's clear that you guys, one, have no idea what you're doing, but two, you're fucking assholes. You're doing this just for the money. You can't do this just for the money. And it's a crazy thing is like, people don't realize there's money, right? But if you're doing it just for the money, that's the inherent problem. But at the same time, it makes guys like me and you just so much more successful because when that's your product and this is our product, like you can fucking do whatever you want, bro. Like keep doing you. We'll keep doing us.
Same. Yeah. I think that ideology is the best way to roll. And look, these businesses are hard to scale. So if you think that you're going to be rolling in the dough down the road or sell, somebody's going to acquire you for $100 million. That's not this business model. What it is it brings profound purpose. It brings a whole bunch of other benefits besides a lot of money and a lot of capital. And it can scale, but that's not the way this business works. You have to find a lot of self-fulfilling satisfaction in it to be happy.
Well, dude, I think that a business like this, and I was telling, I have my new assistant started today. She's sitting in here listening to the podcast, or day one. She's just kind of trailing me around. So I'm like, on the way in, she was like asking me about like, the company, how's it grow? How many instructors do you have? And I'm like, look, there's a lot of people who do apply to be instructors here. There are some who get the blessing to move into the next phase to start instructor development. But we go really, really, we put a lot of thought into how we develop our instructors here. And if this person meets the criteria, because we don't want to dilute the trust in the brand that we've built on short-term metrics. Like, I have no interest in trying to roll something out to take your money because I don't want you to associate me with crap. When we give our free classes out, when we have an instructor who's like, all right, you're now the instructor. We're going to run a free class. We're going to then, you know, polish it up once it's done because you're going to fuck up inherently. It's rare that somebody doesn't fuck up their first class. But we tell people at the beginning of class, like, hey, you didn't pay to be here, right? We are running this guy's first time. If it blows, don't forget, we didn't charge you. There's a reason why we didn't charge you. We could have fucking charged you, but we didn't, motherfucker. I'm going into a whole new different portion of this business. And I said to the guy who wants to do it, the first one we're going to do, we're going to run it for free for like 10 weeks for 50 people. He's like, well, I think we could charge for it. I go, dude, I'm telling you, this is my first time into this rodeo. I don't need the money. We're not charging for it. If you want to go charge for it, go somewhere else. He's like, I go, you want to do this thing? That's fine. I'm with it. I like it. But you're going to have to listen to me. I cannot charge people money for something I don't know is going to work. So at least if it doesn't work, they can say, well, they didn't charge us for it. I mean, it was our own accord, right? We could have fucking said no, but they didn't. So what you're saying, Mike, I think is there's a lot of discipline in building the brand and trust. And when you have a brand, you can't play with that. You can't play with that trust because if you're looking for something that's self-fulfilling in the sense of padding your pockets. It's self-fulfilling for other reasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The difficult thing with like tactical training, for example, is it scales based on, typically it scales, there's other models of it, but it typically scales based on people. And often people are more people, especially in scale, equals more problems, right? Because you're going to have, and it's not like people right. are just shitty. It's people have different incentives. Like some people show up because they want to provide a profound purpose for somebody. They might be retired military, retired law enforcement. They don't need the money. And getting money is nice, but that's not the major incentive. Other people show up and they're like, I want to get popularity. And so these different incentives drive the needle. And when you're trying to build a brand based off of people's position representing your brand, that can be very difficult. So if you don't have, like you said, all these protocols, all these things where they're playing the long game and they're just looking towards the, you know, the self-fulfillment gratification instantly out the gate, then that brand is not going to succeed. And brands take years and often decades to get the reputation for being solid, right? And one asshole can screw up an entire brand, one human being. We've had the fortunate, I guess we've had enough people come through as instructors where we told them, it's like, hey man, if you want to go do and build your own business, do you. I'm not going to confine you to like limiting your performance or your purpose because I'm trying to hold on to you and contain you. But I try to get all that stuff knocked out early on to find the right players. And we scaled to 50 instructors at one point and then receded and went, dude, that's not smart. Like you will fuck up a brand if you do that. So we've actually broke it down to about the dirty dozen, like a solid core group that we invest in. And when somebody says, hey, I want to be an instructor for Fieldcraft, it's like, get in line and be prepared to put in years full of, worth of work. Like, and doing those free preparedness seminars, doing those free workshops, because we're not going to put you on a platform because you have a following on Instagram. That shit's not going to fly anymore.
They kind of make themselves stand out when they're not good candidates, you know? It's not hard. Those are easy to weed out because, you know, essentially the first thing you got to look at is that they have the creds. We got guys who want to apply here and they're like, I want to teach interview and interrogation. How many years, like part of our criteria on our website at streetcop.com, when you want to apply to be an instructor, says like, how many years active law enforcement? 3. Like, bro. And like, we always call everybody. We have a staff here. We have onboarding guys. They go through it. They're instructors of ours. They're retired now. So they spend a couple of days a week here. That process, two of those guys are working with like 2 or 3 people at a clip. Usually they'll give me an insight every week. Like, hey, so-and-so is teaching this. He's getting ready to grow his wings and start moving on. We're ready to do this. We're moving into phase 3. I'm like, oh, cool. Who do you got next? Well, I got a guy out of Minnesota. He does this. It's fucking really cool, man. I think you should take a look at this one and give it the blessing, you know? And then we actually record these guys. We watch their shit. We try to give them critiques and we make an analysis of like, all right, is this person going to make it for us? But dude, your creds say a lot about who you are, but they don't say everything about who you are either. Cause you know, motherfuckers are good at something, but they're dickheads. You know what I mean? Like I know a guy who's really good at something. And I actually began to speak with him a little bit about becoming an instructor, but he's a dickhead. And I can't have a dickhead. And dude, if you ever met the staff here, which I hopefully you will one day, every instructor in this organization, I am so proud of, because all we hear over and over again is like, you guys are the fucking best, man. Like you guys are just like different, man. You guys are just always there for us. And you know, like you're always like a phone call away and like a fucking met. I'm not a phone call away anymore, but you know, we are essentially in some sense. I'll tell you one quick story. Before this thing started blowing up on Facebook, everybody requested me. I just say confirm. Right now I'm at like, there's like 80 spots left. So in case I meet a long lost cousin, I can't just accept anybody anymore. And I'm getting a little more private, especially as it gets a little more public. Well, so I see a guy, I don't even know who he is. And I'm sorry if you're hearing this guy, but his father passed away. Right. So I'm scrolling through my feed. I'm like digressing at night, trying to shut it down. And I send him a message, a DM. Hey, Pete. I don't know if his name is Pete. I'm just saying, for example. Hey, Pete. Hey, man. You know, I see that your father passed away. I just wanted you to know that I never got to meet your dad, but based on the pictures that I saw on this feed, he probably looked like a great guy. And I'm probably at a loss for never getting to meet him. But tonight, before I go to bed, I'm going to pray for your dad's soul and blah, 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 blah. And he wrote back, you're the fifth street cop instructor that wrote that to me today. Something just like that. He goes, and I don't know any of you guys personally. And I went, well, that's something I'm real fucking proud of, dude. So awesome. Unprompted, five of my guys also saw that and DM'd him something similar. And that's how I know we got good people, right? That's how I know good people.
It's difficult to ingrain compassion and empathy for people, right? Humility is not always something that can be taught. And that's important. I think like a lot of people with my background, even with a military background, a lot of people think that automatically, if you have a resume, if you have a special forces, a ranger tab on your shoulder, then you're qualified, right? You already have set the bars. So obviously you're just going to be a good instructor. And that's not true. I mean, I know a lot of guys in the tactical space and industry who gloat that they're very good instructors, and they're not, because they're not. They think talking down to people as subordinates, because it's like running a platoon of ranger privates, is what it is. And I'm like, that's not even close to what it is. Like our courses, we don't train subordinates. We train trainers. So we look at everybody as peer to peer. And when we teach them the context of defining the why to make them better instructors. Because whether they're going home to teach their wife or their family or their institution, I want to give them a different shape, a professional kind of mentorship on how to develop them professionally and personally. And that's not just writing up the drill on a whiteboard and then them doing the thing. That has nothing to do. It's easy to exercise. It's hard to understand the principles and how to exercise. So when I've noticed this over, you know, a decade of doing it, like I didn't know if I was a good instructor. I knew I was empathetic. I knew I liked people, and I knew I wasn't a dickhead. When I would see other people, I would go, well, that's what right looks like, right? When you yell at somebody and get in their ass. It's like, no, that's not what right looks like. Certainly, it increases liability. It reduces the number of people who are in your friendship circle because they start to fucking hate you. And it hurts your brand and business. It might spike the analytics where you feel good about yourself because you're making some money on the weekends. But it certainly will not evolve a community of like-minded humans who are going to buy into your brand long-term. And I hear the reputation about you guys often, and it's really cool because that's who we want to affiliate with and collaborate with as partners, because we want to be with good people. We want to do rad shit with cool people. That's the ultimate objective in this. And I have zero tolerance for dickheads. I fired dudes on the spot when I saw them verbally abuse for their own ego other people because it made him feel good. It's like, get the fuck out of here, man. You're not wanted. You're not desired. Just get the fuck out of here.
Let me say this to you, and you can tell me what this means to you. When we're talking about business here, and certainly this ties into, you know, our industry. And by the way, I'm elated that you guys are familiar with us and you're hearing good things. That makes me really fucking happy, dude. And I really do hope this is the inception of a friendship and a partnership moving forward, because there's nothing I like more, and you could talk to anybody that works with me, like other companies, than us helping motherfuckers get on and us working with other people. Dude, like people write into us all the time, like, you guys host everybody else's training at your company. I'm like, yeah. Like, you guys get paid on that? I'm like, no, we don't. These guys are like, yo, we'll give you 20%. I'm like, we're good. You need the room? You want to come and do a Jersey class? We got the emails. Come do a class. You don't have some people like, yo, we were thinking about doing a class like that too for the company. And I'm like, too bad. So-and-so is already doing it. And Just because he's doing it and he's got 86 people coming doesn't mean we got to do it. We don't got to do that. Just we're his friend, man. That's it. The guy's trying to get his fucking shit off the ground. I like his product. He's a good dude. Let's put him on. We'll put him on. We'll give him the email contact. That's how we are. I even reach out to people who don't even like, I don't want to say names, people on blast, but I see guys that you and I both know that are well-known that are instructors in the field. They do maybe in some motivational talks. I'm like, yo, send me your stuff and I'll send it out for you. Like, what do you want in turn? I'm like, nothing, dude. That's not what it's about, bro. But when I say this to you, tell me what it means to you. And especially in the sense of a brand and business, how important is word of mouth?
It's the most important equity that you get because it's social equity. I mean, like a lot of dudes try to get return on investments on ads and all these quirky technological aspects. That's garbage. Like when I first started doing seminars, like you guys do, which is free courses, Resilience Rendezvous, all these different things that we were doing for free, offering value as the proposition of, hey, if you just listen and if it's valuable for you, maybe you could be a customer. Maybe you could buy into what we're selling. But first, let's have a conversation about it. And if we didn't have that reputation, word of mouth, that would be bad. So yeah, certainly people pop off and they come out of the woodwork because we made them upset, whatever it is. Ultimately, you got to look at the equity that you built in the brand. And if you don't have a good reputation, word of mouth, then I would say that's the start point in business.
Do you think that sometimes you're also misunderstood with what you're trying to do?
Oh, of course, 100%. Look, when you talk in ones and zeros, where the attention span is being ran by an algorithm that just wants to optimize your time in post and in segments, it's like, how can you get any context out there? I think it's funny because that often leads to more popularity, and sometimes that popularity helps us get more social equity. But what happens is somebody says something and they take it out of context. And then what I've realized, if you even try to say, hey, but that's not what happened. They're objective. They don't give a fuck about you or your company or doing good. They had an end state from the very get-go. So their story is they're sticking to it. And it doesn't matter the context. It doesn't matter if you think you're a good person and you want to convince somebody otherwise. It's not worth your time. So I don't fuck around because I don't want to find out. Like I'm interested in moving forward. And often we are misunderstood, or I'm personally misunderstood by shit I say, because I say a lot online and people aren't interested in hearing the long form podcast like this. They're more interested in seeing the blurb and then jumping on the bandwagon.
You know, dude, I didn't know we were going to become best fucking friends when this shit started. We are literally the same person. I just did a TikTok video the other day and it said something like, all the TikTok cops that are all the insecure cops that criticize all the work that I do. And then of course, literally in the comments are like, yeah, from the guy who didn't have any time on the job and now is the fucking expert at everything. And I just wrote, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Right. The next one's like ACAB. The next one's like, you guys are all fucking pigs. And I'm like, oh, this is great. But the reality is just like you, I actually find that stuff comical. I look forward to it now. And I don't ever let any of that stuff dissuade what my mission objective is, because I got to tell you now, 15% of my class, when they come in, are like, I'm like, why are you guys at Street Cop class? How'd you guys find out? Like, we watch your TikToks, bro. Like, that's how we found out who you are. So people are like, oh, fuck TikTok. I'm like, you could fuck TikTok all you want. I'm going to use TikTok to grow brand awareness and continue to deliver. Yeah, and dude, it was great. They were stitching a video I made about a case that's a famous case. So you get these hand job attorneys that come on. I know who they are. They can fool people. They got the rings on. You know, I just know that they're giving half the fucking side of the story. They're full of shit. There's another side to it as well. One thing I said, I talked about, like, people were like, don't let the cops call the dogs. They can't call dogs. So I just made a video. I'm like, well, why do you think we have dogs if we can't call them or use them? This fucking loser, I didn't stitch their videos. Like, these fucking TikTok attorneys, they think you could never call for a dog. That's what they'll tell you. But the reality is like, why do you think you see canine on the side of cars? You ever see a dog walking around a car on the side of the road? That's because we're allowed to prolong with reasonable suspicion. Bro, that video was stitched probably by like 600-700 attorneys. And I was just like, yo, it made me so happy. And they're like, you want to stitch back? And I'm like, no, this is so good. Right. Like they don't realize it. They're just fucking blowing me up through the roof, dude. And now I go out sometimes, right? I'm like at a social setting, non-cop related. And people are like, yo, can I get a picture? I'm like, why? And they're like, because I watch you on TikTok, dude. Your shit's so good. I'm like, are you a cop? They're like, nah, I'm a fucking bartender. But like, I just love your shit, dude. It's so good, right? So like people don't realize what they're doing. And I always like to hear when people are like, yo, I heard a lot of fucked up shit, but you guys are awesome. Or like, I've had administrators apologize to me like, yo, I was a guy who like used to talk mad shit about you guys and you guys are fucking awesome. I'm like, I can't say it enough. I'm so fucking sorry. I'm like, yeah, man, you catch a video clip of me for 30, 40 seconds. I'm running my mouth. I'm some Jersey fucking dude, right? I'm a quintessential Jersey doucher, right? I mean, I got a fucking Ferragamo belt on and I'm doing fucking police videos, right? I got my eyebrows threaded. Let's call it like it is, you know? And you know, you get judgmental about it, but dude, you know, it's okay. I'm not mad at you. I might be the same way if I wasn't so fucking enlightened on not judging people and trying to see what they're trying to do. I also know bullshit when I see it. So I feel it, bro. And like, I'm so glad that you said that you're not worried about other people. I don't even, but people ask me like, oh, do you know this training company? Cause they were talking about you, their training. I'm like, no. Like, well, they said you guys are assholes. I'm like, who? Like, how come you don't know who they are? Like, they're big in fucking Des Moines. I'm like, I don't sit here all day researching who's out there. We had a big significant company. I'll tell you off here who it was. Sent an email out and said, just so you guys are know, we are not associated with Street Cop Training. Blah, 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 blah. They sent a huge email out. And I'm like, these dumb motherfuckers, do you know what they just did for me? These dumb fucks don't know what to do. They just allow me to tap into their whole, because at a very minimum, going, well, who's Street Cop? What are they so worried about? And then they come on and they go, oh, hold on, this shit's good. And all you heard, and so people put it up in our group, a Facebook group, somebody put a picture of the email that came out. They're like, what's this about? And I wrote back, like, I just want to thank so-and-so for sending this email out on behalf. Didn't cost us a thing. They actually tried to sell us their email fucking list for $30,000 about a year ago. And we just want to say thank you to the founders of that company. Also, we are so glad that they clarified that we are not them, because the last thing in the world we want to be known is to be those guys. They were so cool in 1983. And people were like, they fucking suck. Well, but think about what you do to the last Mohicans you have that are followers. You're telling them like, we're such dicks that we're going to spend time, instead of developing training products to make your life better, we're going to spend time at trying to throw shit at another training company because we're scared. And bro, you just keep making us look better when you behave like that. You know, people are like, oh, you know, they don't have a lot of people at their training classes anymore. I'm like, that's because they suck. Except before that, there was nobody else teaching. Now they're all fucking frustrated because there's a bar set. It's a different bar. And by the way, I think about this sometimes, Mike. I'm like, fuck, one day I'm going to be the guy who like sucks, right? Like some dude's going to come in here and fucking murder me. I'm like, yo, shit, we had a great run. This kid came along. He was fucking better. Our shit sucks. I hope it never happens, right? But like, there's a possibility that might happen. I'm 83. I'm like, oh, this blows, right? Like, the shit I can't, you know, I don't know, dude. Anyway, what do you have to say to some of that stuff? Go ahead.
Well, I think part of it is too, look, I think the market and the industry operates like there's a lot of scarcity. You know, like if you think about feast and famine, right? Everybody's starving. And right, so everybody's fighting for scarce resources, but they don't understand that cops, military, civilians, they want options. They want choices. Like if you go upstairs, like, and you look at my fucking shoes, you would think I was a chick because I got 50 fucking pairs of shoes. I got Salomons. I got cowboy boots. I got Ultras. I got all the shoes because depending on what I need to accomplish, I got a shoe for the specific skill set. So I like options in everything I do. I don't like. What makes special operators good at their job is we didn't think we knew it all. We brought in the expert. And if he was an expert in shooting, we said, hey, what can we take from this dude and add to our toolbox? Hey, who's this pro driver? What can we take from his skill sets and make us better drivers? So a lot of people, a lot of companies operate off of scarcity. And their tactic is, oh, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna burn down everybody around me, burn all these bridges, because if I talk shit, my analytics are going to go through the roof. I'm going to onboard all these fucking people. And that lasts for like 12 hours. After that, everybody's like, you're kind of a dick. Like, you, like, this was funny when you started doing it, and now you're kind of a dick, and this shit's getting old. It's like, maybe I'll just go elsewhere. And they lose the market. They onboard quickly and they offload rapidly. But when you just invest time in focusing on moving forward, being positive, and realizing, hey, if you collaborate with partners, you're going to make yourself, your company, and everybody around you better. And so if I say, oh, go train with Street Cop, and then I say, oh, go train with Kyle Lamb, go train with all these other different people in my network, that is going to make us rise to the top while all this shit sinks to the bottom.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That's how I want to operate. That's how I operate, period.
Hey, guys, if you're enjoying the Street Cop podcast, do us a favor and give us a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you're listening to us. Tell a friend. We don't charge anything for the episodes. We appreciate your support. Check us out on any social platform by putting into the search bar Street Cop Training. Give us a follow. We have a lot of free content coming out every single day that you might not catch here on the podcast. And it's important for you to be able to do your job more professionally. And we also entertain you as well.
It's amazing, and people don't know the behind the scenes of this industry, that all the fuckheads hang out with all the other fuckheads.
Yes.
And all the good dudes find each other. No bullshit, dude. We got guys, by the way, I want to say this as well. We got people we're hosting here at our building who teach the same exact stuff that we teach. I'm not kidding you. We got Sean Pardesi from Triple I Solutions coming to teach interdiction. We got other guys coming here to teach interdiction. And we're basically the core principle of our organization to start, the foundation where it starts for Street Cop Training was interdiction-based training, criminal apprehension, proactive policing. We're still saying, like, hey, man, this guy's got different value than we do, right? We're just a different restaurant in town, except we're trying to hold the fucking food court this place. We think Sean does a really good job, right? He's a good dude. And guess what? He's a dude that knows that we're those dudes as well. And I'll defend him and he'll defend me. And so, like, we're putting a guy on at the conference, on a stage that I'm paying other people $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to talk for an hour. I'm giving a guy from Bauer Brown from ACIT Interdiction Tactics. Sorry if I fucked that up, Bauer. An hour on stage. You know, I'm like, I called him like, yo, you want to do an hour? He's like, you serious? And I'm like, yeah, man. Like, we always got a spot for somebody else to fucking, I hope you get 1,600 followers and 800 new fucking clients from this event. You know, what do you want from me? Nothing. By the way, here's tickets for your friends and your fucking family. And here's your hotel room. Here's everything, dude. Right? Like, take this opportunity, run with it. And every year we're going to try to put somebody else on. I already told Nick Jackson, who works for Sean Pardesi, yo, you're in for the 2024 conference. You'll be an instructor at that conference. And dude, like, I can't find enough space for everybody that I think the world needs to hear. And I'm like, fuck, Mike's so goddamn good at talking. And shit, I have no space, Mike. I'm on the fucking platform. I already moved it out. You know Cody Alford? You ever meet Cody?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's great.
That's my boy, dude. Like, me and him had hit it off. Like, we're like straight up, we're boys now. Like, we're like going to kayak and shit together. Like, I don't know if I'm going to. I was like, yo, do you have like a lot of bugs in fucking Idaho? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not like, can we just watch TV of kayaking or something? Right? You ever go to like nightclubs at the Jersey Shore? Because I can show you that shit. That's my dude. Like, we're on another level together. You know, we're not in business together, by the way, either. But I actually cut half of my session out because I always open the event day one. I have the first hour and a half. I gave 45 minutes to Cody Alford and I paid him, right? And I'm not going to go into the details of what I paid him, but I was like, yo, I'm going to pay you too. Because I think that dude has tremendous value. I think he's doing great things for the world. And I think he needs to tell 1,700 people, 2,000 people in a room who he is. And anything I could do to help move him forward, I'm doing for him. And I want nothing in return because I'm just a fortunate motherfucker, right?
That's how it should be, man. That's how we should all operate. And I think people realize that. It doesn't take them long to figure it out. And, you know, begrudging fucking people are always begrudging. And it's their choice whether or not they want to live in that. And often, I'll say, after being in business for a decade, I've not recognized one person or one company that had a toxic mindset or way of operating that succeeded. And people have like, well, it must be nice. It's like, it must be. It's like, we're in the weeds, we do the right thing, and we're consistent. And that's why we're still here. So you could talk shit, you could do all these things, and you'll just fade away and trace a burnout like all these other assholes. And I'm trying to tell you, because I'm trying to mentor you and help you along the way, talking shit about anybody. If you were sitting in a business meet with Leupold, and Leupold was bad-mouthing fucking right in fucking optics because they're not as big as them. I would immediately be like, I do not want to associate with Leupold. I don't want a big guy who I know has a lot of money and is a huge company talking shit about little guys because it makes them feel good. And, you know, whether it's the rep or the rep for the brand, I don't like that. And so I'm not a shit talker. I'm not a gossiper. Like when dudes talk shit, they're like, hey, did you hear about, I'm like, I don't want to hear it, man. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like I have shit to, my changing my baby's diapers are more important than hearing and getting caught up in all the drama and bullshit. And so far, so good. Our SOP is doing that. And I tell all my people, I'm like, dude, we do not gossip. We don't talk shit about other companies, other people, because we got more important work to focus on. And so far that has led to success and progression. And that's all we need to do.
We have company meetings about every 3 weeks here for about 30 minutes, you know, because I try to keep it completely transparent. We have a lot of instructors. Some of them, no bullshit. I've never met some of them, right? I just have my people that I've built in place that have been entrusted to like, hey, so-and-so is doing this. He did real good, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm trying to build this thing bigger. I know I can't have my hands in every little thing. I have now built a team where this thing is like, in my mind, it's like building the first Mercedes-Benz car. Like, oh my God, it's running, right? Like, and it doesn't need me to fucking sit here and press on the piston the whole time. It's running, right? So now I'm like, how do I make the Ford V8? Then how do I make the fucking this? And so that's the game I'm playing on a business front. But in those meetings, often I'm like, hey, listen, I don't want to hear anybody at this company ever bad-mouthing any other company. I don't want to fucking hear about it. You guys want to get on this? You want to fucking vent? That's fine. You want to tell your wife? That's fine. You want to tell your fucking coworkers? That's fine. If you are confronted, because somebody got involved with somebody, you know, not too long ago, and I was like, why would you do that? You know, why? He's like, well, and then somebody else got involved. He was like one of our, again, another person we're confided with, and they got upset because we start fucking poking at street cop guys. People get really pissed off. They get real defensive of us because they know we're trying to do the right thing. And, you know, I said, guys, listen, I get it. You made your point. They saw it. The world saw it. His people saw it. I'm telling you. And they got messages like, you fuck that guy. You guys are so much better than da da da. All this stuff. I said, but I'm telling you, I don't want to ever see it again. Please don't make me have to repeat this. I'm not a boss. I'm not trying to be dicks. These are all adults. Do I have private conversations, right? And people call like my closest people and they're like, hey, did you see this? And I'm like, yeah, I heard about that. But guess what? People hear things about me too. You know, I fuck up, Mike. Like I fuck up and I owe my shit. You know what I mean? But that's the game, dude. You know it.
Yeah, I live it. It's especially when you, like you said, when you become more popular, your circle starts to get smaller because you need to get more private because you're more recognizable. But you're also, you know, a lot of people have told me, like, people are entitled to their opinion. And, you know, a percentage of the population where, you know, whether you're listening to Jordan Peterson and he says 4% of people are psychopaths, or a lot of people in the world are shitty. You're going to always run into that. And I am kind of at this point in my life, thankful that I'm in a position to move the needle forward, but also have people have opinions about me, good, bad, or indifferent. They have their opinions. What I just don't do is focus on those opinions. Affirmation feels good. Yeah, it feels good to get positive reinforcement. But all that negative shit, I know what I'm doing is right. I have a long track in history of doing the right thing. And so I have nothing to worry about. You know, a lot of people have insecurity about that. I don't. And I say dumb shit on Joe Rogan's podcast. I said, comparing SEAL Team 6 guys to cops. I said something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'll fuck this up. And I apologize for fucking it up, but here's what I meant. I said something like, if you have like Andy Stump and he's a SEAL Team 6 guy, and he comes home, and the whole topic and the whole context was wrapped around veteran advocacy and mental health. And Andy Stump comes back from deploying and rescuing fucking Jessica Lynch because he was on the Jessica Lynch raid. And he comes back and he doesn't have a fucking job. And then he steps down. And then I said something like, and he steps down like to be a cop. And it's not even like I said, it's not even like JV. And then I think Rogan said, yeah, you're like writing fucking tickets. I'm like, yeah, you're writing tickets. So you go from operating at the highest levels, infilling on fucking helicopters and doing counterterrorism and hostage rescue, and then you're fucking writing a ticket. And then the correlation of the context of that story was, hey, you can't get your same experience by being a fucking cop or doing anything in the world. But I had a whole bunch of cops that were upset. That I had cops saying, oh, you think being a cop is JV? I said, no,
well, fuck those guys, dude. Can I just speak on behalf of the rest of the police?
Please. Yo,
fuck those dudes, bro. Fuck those guys. Yeah. Ignore the fucking noise. And I got to be honest with you. You know, being on SEAL Team 6 and humping a black and white are not the fucking same thing. So everybody who said that, just shut the fuck up. He didn't. You're listening to what the guy's saying. He actually has good context. So I'll stand by that. Like, just fucking. And probably most of the cops are like, dude, that's bullshit. Because that's we don't want those people making us look like we're babies and pussies. Everybody knows we got a fucked up job to do. Everybody knows this profession is important and it comes with a lot of purpose behind it. But stop taking shit out of context because the guy's talking. You can't even got to watch what you fucking say. You know what? On behalf of the law enforcement community, for Mike Glover, don't listen to those fucking assholes. I can't imagine. I mean,
that means a lot, man. That actually means a lot because that actually hurt my feeling because I fucking teach cops. My dad was a cop. Like that, I grew up in that fucking world. And it pissed me off because to think that cops would think that actually made me upset. And I had a good buddy said, hey, man, can you clarify? I said, look, I typically would never clarify this because I didn't mean what you think.
Right.
But because you're my friend and because I think it's important, I'll clarify. I wasn't comparing SEAL Team 6 guys and cops. I was saying that if a SEAL Team 6 guy came back expecting to be SEAL Team 6 and he's a fucking cop, he's not going to find the purpose that he had. And he's likely going to, and the whole topic was about suicide. He's likely going to take his own fucking life because he can't find the purpose that he once had. And that's not belittling cops. That's saying, hey, man, doing HR like Annie did, that's very different than any profession in the fucking world. And you know, I even clarified, like I'm not talking about SWAT guys here. I'm not talking about like the dudes who fucking kick in doors and do great things all over this country. I'm talking about like, you know, Barney Fife in like a rural town in America, you are not getting the same feeling that you got when you were in SEAL Team 6. It's just not right, fucking dude.
Right. I agree, dude. You're 100% right. And I don't think you have to explain, you know, listen, dude, anytime you say or do anything, you know, eventually it just all settles, you know? So there's this great thing. I haven't brought it up in a while, but 2022 was the most difficult year of my life. And again, when I can talk more about it, I'll bring it all up and I'm going to just, and the reason I'm going to bring it up is because I want people to know that I went through some fucked up shit and I made it. And I want you to go when you inevitably go through fucked up shit, you're going to make it too. That's why I'm going to talk about it.
Is this personally or professionally?
Both, dude. I got fucking burned. I got my fucking, first I got my teeth kicked in. Then I got my balls kicked in. Then I got both my arms broken. Then I got my ears torn off. So it just 2022 was fucking ridiculous. Here's the good news. 2023 has been my best year yet. So, you know, I don't think that there are things that you have to explain. And one of my favorite excerpts, and I don't think Tom Hanks phrased it, but you ever hear of "This Too Shall Pass"?
Yes, yes, yes.
It's important, dude. I think nobody defined that better than Rogan. They put that man through a shitstorm, and Dave Portnoy, they put him through a shitstorm. And you know, man, just stay the path, stay steady, stay focused. It's going to fucking wind on, you know, you're going to have days on the mountain where it's going to be windy and snowy and going to feel like you're never going to make it to the top, and just keep fucking stay looking down one foot in front of the other. And before you know it, the wind dies down. It can only be turbulent for so long. So even if you said something like that, dude, it doesn't take long for your true colors to continue to shine through of what your purpose is. What they did to Rogan was fucking disgusting. He's a comedian to start. Let's all just start with that, right? Like, that's his job. On top of that, he's extremely intelligent and has the most successful podcast in the United States and probably the world. So, you know, dude, anytime you're sitting with all eyes on you, you know how it is. But with that being said, have you ever heard that excerpt of Tom Hanks? He's sitting around with the video clip is 30 seconds. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but it's him. It's like Shia LaBeouf, Adam Sandler. I think Al Pacino's there. And they're sitting around, and Robert De Niro, and they're sitting around this round table. And it's really cool. Anybody should watch it. You can go on YouTube, put in "This Too Shall Pass." And it says, everything going well in your life, everything great, riding high, the world loves you, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Everybody hates you, huh? They said you're this, they said you're that, your work's terrible, nobody's calling you, this too shall pass. And, you know, over and over again, he says a few different excerpts, and he goes, the bottom line is time is your friend. And if nothing else, just give it some time. And this too shall pass.
That's beautiful.
Oh, bro, I live by it. Yeah, dude.
Beautiful.
It's 30 seconds of the most profound fucking words you can find. And bro, you know, I thought I was a guy who was unbreakable. And I wasn't. And, you know, I'm so glad that I went through what I went through. I'm not thrilled about it, but I am, because I recognize the good Lord had a lot more things for me to do. And I think the big guy upstairs recognizes that people are going to come to me with their problems, looking to be somebody that will give them comfort and advice and guidance. And he had to put me through the fucking ringer first in order for me to show up and be able to say, I've been you. I know what it is. You're going to be okay. And I try to tell people that all the time. You're going to be okay. We're all going to be okay. You're going to be okay. No matter what happens, you're going to be okay. You just got to stop thinking you're not going to be okay. And it's all going to work out. Got to give a little time. And, you know, sometimes you got to pick yourself up and get moving a little bit. Nobody's sending a rescue boat out here. So just keep fucking chugging along, man. One foot in front of the other. That's it. Keep climbing. Keep walking. You're going to make it. You're going to be all right. But back to what we were saying before, just like you, I catch wind about people saying things behind my back. Let me ask you this before I give you the answer on this. How many times have people said it to your face?
Zero. Oh, yeah, shit. Nobody's ever, in the history of my business, nobody's ever confronted me in real life or in person or on the phone and said anything. It's zero.
Yeah, that's why I asked you that question, because guess what it is for me? It's a goose egg. And as a matter of fact, I go to events, right? And I see people at these events who I know have talked shit about behind my back. And I walk up and try to make them uncomfortable a little bit by saying, hello, how are you? How are things? And, oh, yeah, no, hey, listen, man, I heard good things about Street Cop, man. You guys are fucking killing it, man. The podcast is doing really good. Yeah, man, our guys seem to love you. And I know in the background, this is the guy telling his people, you're not going to that guy's class. You're not going to any of those trainings. These guys are fucking crazy. But I will say this. My friend Danny, who's a high-ranking official in the state of New Jersey, only person, and I got to give him credit. Maybe I'll have him on a podcast one day, because he's like one of my biggest fans now, and I love the guy so much. I do so much for him, and he does so much for me. I just a tremendous fan of his. And he's a big boy. He's a big shot in the state. So on LinkedIn, I get this message, and he's like, yo, you're a fucking asshole. So I'm like, why? Right? And he's like, and I never check LinkedIn. I happened to check it one night, and he's like, well, you're telling guys not to listen to their fucking bosses, blah, 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 da, 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 da. I said, what's your cell phone number? So this guy's a big dude, bro. He's like a big name guy. And I'll tell you when we fucking chop it up one day. So I call him and I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? He's like, yo, he's like, what's up? He's like, how the fuck did I know you're going to call me? I'm like, well, you must know something about me. And so we start talking. And I remember the first words I said, what's the problem? He goes, you're telling guys not listen to the fucking supervisors. I go, Dan, if you go out into the field after taking a street cop class, and I explain to you 10 pieces of case law that say you can't do this, and then you got a sergeant out there telling you, you have to do this, and you know it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to tell your supervisor, hey, we can't, these things are illegal. We can't do this stuff. You're not reading case law. We are. I go, Dan, you know that half the sergeants out there are fucking phenomenal and half of them aren't. He goes, no, I agree. I go, so what was the problem? He goes, I misinterpreted what you were saying. I said, yeah, bro, we've been back. In 5 minutes, we were fucking best pals. And I, to this day, I still tell him, I go, you're the only person in my life that had the fucking balls to confront me. Right. And the crazy thing is, in 5 minutes, it got all cleared up and we became, I mean, we're friends like you wouldn't believe. And I'm actually like honored to be his friend because he's such a fucking big shot. Right. But he ain't like a dude who's a big shot because he's a big shot and he's like blew his way to the top. He's a bro. He's a fucking bleeding blue, true motherfucker who is well respected at his giant big agency, very well respected. And the dude's a fucking cop's cop, bro. Like, he just is. And you can trust him. And he's a good dude. And he says what he feels like he has to say. He's got a big set of balls on him. And I respect him tremendously.
That's a rare trait. That's a rare trait, man.
I know, dude. Yo, how about three things that people learn in your training sessions that they can implement, even if they're hearing it on a podcast? So like, for example, find yourself in a high stress situation, try to remember to breathe, right? In through the nose, out through the mouth. If you can continue to remember to breathe, it'll calm your fucking nerves. Then you could think a little bit, maybe some shit like that would be cool.
Okay. So number one, there's a mechanism in you to fail, to quit. And not a lot of people know about that. It's called, there's a parasympathetic, that everybody knows hyperarousal, but nobody really concentrates their effort in science and neurology and behavioral health in hypoarousal, which is a shift from a parasympathetic rest and digest to a sympathetic shift to fight or flight, back to a parasympathetic shift of quitting, fainting, fawning. Everybody has talked about it. You've probably seen it. Like if you've seen Discovery Channel and you've seen a cheetah chasing the gazelle, and the gazelle knows it's going to die, in the last ditch effort, it collapses on itself like its head through its ass, and it faints. And it might even make noises. But what it's doing is it's flushing its system with opiates to transition from life to death a little bit easier. It's also quitting. And so that it's hypo aroused. You could see this in Virginia Tech in the active shooting that killed 32 people, where there's a student in one of the classrooms, one of the 13, and actually one of the nine that survived. One of the four that survived out of the 13. This kid did it, and he didn't even realize what he did. He just quit. He pretended like he was dead. He contorted his body. He didn't know why. And then when he tried to move, his legs were numb. He actually thought he was shot. And if you understand what that is, and if you look at like the Yerkes-Dodson curve, this band of performance where you peak, and that peak could be correlated to like beats per minute, to physical performance. A lot of people don't realize there's a trigger in them to quit and faint and fail. The problem with that is if you don't understand your triggers and trauma, if you have all this training, if you're the most high-speed fucking dude on the planet, you actually could fall into that situation because you don't understand the things that trigger you. So what we tell people is understand, like, deeply seated in you, there's something that could break you. And if you understand that, and you might know what it is, like you might be able to say it out loud. It's most often observed in sexual trauma victims, where they feel this paralysis and they say, man, I feel bad because I never fought. I should have fought. And they hold that guilt. What they didn't understand is there's a biological mechanism in them for survival, for them not to fight. And that opiate transition, that hypoarousal, created the paralysis in them. So what I don't want people to ever do is start fighting, start fleeing, hyper aroused. And then all of a sudden that mechanism in them that they understand is that trigger in their trauma switches them into hypo arousal. And then they fucking quit and die. In the animal kingdom, it might work because the predator doesn't want to eat the prey that's tainted with virus, with bacteria, and it won't take the chance. But in our modern world, you are going to see evil people do evil things and potentially headshot you because you're in the fetal position because you're just an easier target. So we teach this both in civilian classes and in law enforcement classes, because we think, even as law enforcement officers think, you go into a room and everybody's in the fetal position and you're like, get up and fucking move. And they're not moving, right? And then you don't understand the process that just took place where they're not in fight or flight and freeze. Those fucking people are hypo aroused and they're paralyzed, and you have to physically grab them and pick them up and move them. Or if you identify it in yourself and you go, dude, I feel like I'm getting overwhelmed, and that fear is going to overwhelm you. You can actually see it in officer involved shootings. There's a good video of a paramedic, and there's another video of an officer. They start being hyper aroused and then they quit. They shut the fuck down and they just stop. Like one guy who's a law enforcement officer, he's overweight. He gets in this confrontation and then he falls to his ass and almost gets ran over by the car that's fleeing. That's because he was hypo aroused. He quit on himself. When we build resilience in people, I think about that often, like that thing in people that's to quit. And I try to build as much layers of resilience in them as possible so they can never see that. Number two, you just said it. I'm glad you guys talk about it. It's breathing. It's in through the mouth or in through the nose, out the mouth. But it's not just about, you know, off-gassing CO2 to optimize oxygen. It's about the thought of fucking breathing. Because when you're thinking about breathing, you're not thinking about impending doom. You know, like if I was free falling in Halo Jump Master and I was like freaked the fuck out and the Halo Jump Master instructor jumped in front of me and he looked at me like a hummingbird and he's like zipping around me and shit. And he went and he did this. That's the hand and arm signal, which is like waving my hand up and down. The hand and arm signal for relax. When I do that myself, I'm bringing awareness back into my body. And that's what breathing is. Immediately I'll relax because I'm taking my mind off impending doom. The third thing I think is important is affirmation. We're our own worst enemies. We like to be defeatist, especially when it comes to ourselves. That tied into confirmation bias. Like Chuck, the asshole who's always late. He's always late because he's the I'm always late guy. It's like, Chuck, what the fuck? You're always late. It's like, oh, I'm the late guy. Yeah, no shit, because he creates the narrative. He goes out into the world looking for evidence of that. And everybody confirms that bias and it becomes his new faith, his new persona, his new belief. So what we tell people is, yeah, it's as easy, like a Navy SEAL will do it in buds, of telling yourself you're the best fucking person in the planet and nobody's going to kill you. It's as easy as saying that and then making it your belief because you go out in the world and you look for evidence of that. Because you say, I'm a good fucking person. And you go out and you go, well, Sarah thought I was a good fucking person. I knew it. I'm a good fucking person. Foundationally, it's the same mechanism that's tied to our belief and faith. Like if you see a car accident, a whole family fucking burns up in a car. If you're a person of faith and belief, you don't go, dude, that is questioning my belief in God because God would never do that. No, you go, so what are the circumstances? Oh, a family was in a van and they were about to drive by and that family burned down, but there was 10 members of his family in a van. And if they didn't die, that whole family of 10 would have died in the bus. It's a miracle of God. And we reinforce our faith that way. So it's the optimism that people need to go into the world with. The only problem is we're our own worst critics and enemies. Be a critic, but don't be an enemy. Realize we need self-improvement, but you're good enough. What I tell people is I have a YouTube channel, Mike Glover Actual, and I did a video. It pissed off 10% of people and 90% of people who saw it go, fuck, man, I needed that. And I'm here for the 90%. I'm here for the front row. The people who are willing to go, man, Mike just told me I'm fucking lazy. And that's the first step in being better. Because if you're lazy, you're never going to do anything for yourself. And sometimes the world's not going to pick you up. Your family, your friends, nobody's going to pick you up. So if you want to help yourself be a better version of yourself, then you have to pick yourself up. And that starts with not being lazy. So those are the top three, I would say, that we teach people, because it's not always about technical proficiency and skill sets. A lot of it has to do with the headspace between your ears.
That's a pretty fucking good answer, Mike.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's fucking legit, dude. Like, thank you. Sometimes I meet people and I just like to listen. You're just one of those guys that I like to listen to. There's not many people I like just to listen to.
I appreciate that, man. I like listening to you too. You got some good shit coming out of your mouth. Thanks, I love that. Dude.
Some people agree with that. Some people don't.
Pearls of wisdom.
Yeah. I try. Dude, I mean, I just have all this stuff inside and I do a lot of thinking. I'm a deep thinker and I'm like, man. And you know, again, some of it's not popular. What can I do? I'm not here to fucking win a popularity contest. I'm just trying to give value and deliver things to people who need to hear it. And, you know, I've got enough affirmation in the world to recognize that the work is important. I mean, Christ, we started doing this podcast fucking 2 years ago, goofing off with it, and then became a very real serious thing. Cause all I'm hearing now is like, bro, I fucking love the podcast. Like when I meet people now, like, yo, love the podcast, bro. I'm like, what about the rest of the stuff? They're like, yeah, I guess that shit's cool too. They're like, but the podcast is like, I mean, I get this nonstop, like, yo, don't stop doing the podcast. I'm like, I'm not gonna, but thank you. Right. Like I never intended on stopping the podcast. And now we're putting a lot of time, energy, and effort into it because we're able to bring value on such a large scale now. And I'm sure you understand it as well. I mean, you guys have a huge podcast as well. I, unbeknownst to me, like one day I got a message from a guy. He's like, hey, congrats on being top 100 in the education space. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking? It's like 2 months ago. And I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? It was like a DM. But he was like trying to like become like my fucking, he's going to be the guy that gets me sponsorships or some shit. And I'm like, fuck. So I come in, I tell Frankie, I'm like, bro, 2 years, I didn't look at the analytics of this thing. Not even, it was like a year and we're not even at 2 years yet. So I'm like, hey, the fuck does this mean? Is anybody to look at these things? He's like, bro, you're like number 68 today. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm like, where, New Jersey? He's like, nah, in the fucking world, dude. I'm like, no way. And I'm like, how many subscribers do we have? He's like, got like 400,000 subscribers. I'm like, nah. I'm like checking on something else, but I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, I'm just showing off here. I don't know, but I guess there's value to it, dude. You know, as a guy like you took an hour and change to come on here and do this, just great things come out of it, dude. So much intense value, a friendship. I mean, dude, I don't know if you know this, and I'm not trying to pump the fucking the conference up, but bro, you should come, man. I want to, and as soon as we finish, wrap this thing up. It's April 23rd in Nashville. It's gonna be legit. If you come for a day or two, I'm fucking. I got some ideas for you if you wanted to take advantage of it. I know everybody's got their schedule set. It's all fucking chaotic. I get that shit, dude. I respect all that stuff, but I want to extend the olive branch out and hopefully, bro, maybe we spend some time off air and chop it up a little bit and see if we can't help you. We got a, you know, we got a lot of stuff that we could help you with as well. And to be honest with you, dude, I'm not saying that because I need you to help me or I want you to help me. I just want to do it because I think you're a good dude and I think we're cut from the same fucking cloth. And, you know, I maybe saying this publicly is for the world to see how people should behave towards one another.
I would love to, man. It would be an honor. I mean, I think we're all about collaboration. We have my training director actually lives in Nashville or right outside of Nashville. And I think any time that we can get in bed long term, especially in relationships, to help each other out with business practices, with marketing, with strategies to activate, with helping people across the country, with all these things, I think the more the merrier. And we're all about it, man. We have a small circle, small friendship group. I would love to be part of that. And it's an honor. Thank you for thinking about us.
Yeah, dude, of course. Anyway, bro, it's been a pleasure having you. Don't go anywhere yet because I just want to chop it up for about 5 minutes before you leave. But dude, thanks for agreeing to come on the podcast. It was an honor for us to have you. Everybody here was fucking pumped up. They're like, Mike Glover is the man. I'm like, yeah, he's a good fucking dude. I'm glad he's on here. Sometimes Frankie, I got to give him credit. He really does a nice job of getting some real profound guests. And you've been one of the best podcasts I've ever done. And I appreciate that so much, dude. Really did a lot. Nice service for the world today.
Yeah. Thank you for what you guys do, man. Keep doing what you do. I think podcasts are the most important aspect in long form communication to get context and kind of dig through the weeds. And I appreciate the opportunity. And thank you to you and all the people that listen to you. I appreciate it.
Oh, dude, where can they find you? All socials, websites, all that stuff. Let's not leave without saying that stuff.
I'm Googleable. I mean, you just put in Mike Glover. Philcraft Survival was the channels. I guess if I had to point to one place, it would be Mike Glover Actual. I got a show called Prep Life where I just talk about current events and ways that you can make yourself better prepared. I don't have any sponsors in that. It's just me on YouTube running my mouth. So if you want to catch that, go to Mike Glover Actual on YouTube.
And then the podcast is the Black Rifle Coffee Company podcast, right?
Yes, sir. I'm the host of the Black Rifle Coffee podcast. And I also have my company podcast, the Philcraft Survival Podcast, all focused on preparedness.
Guy's a fucking man. Killing it, bro. Out there fucking murdering it, dude. All right, man. I'll see you next time. Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.